Well, sometimes you pull the trigger and the gun doesn't go off. This is actually Leif and I's third shot at doing a fishing report.
I think that's the first third shot ever.
No, yeah, we've
done two before.
Yeah, we have, and it's not that we couldn't use the practice, I'm sure, but
yeah.
Here we are now.
We're back.
Time for a fishing report. Yeah,
yeah.
You didn't know it, but hey, we're back. So. We're in the midst of a closed steelhead season.
That's correct, yeah.
And being a guy who spends so much time out on the river, what did you find to do?
Well, you know, steelheading here on the Methow is closed, and that is a big bummer.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's still open on the lower part of the Similkameen, the Okanagan, Inyat, and Wenatchee.
Okay, so you undoubtedly went one of those places.
Oh, you bet. Yeah, I was visiting my dad, so he's down there in Wenatchee, and he's got a great little run below his place there that I really enjoy fishing. And, I only had about an hour and 45, almost 2 hours to fish,
yeah.
And it was colder than crap, but I still managed to hook into two and land one. The bigger one, of course, spanked me, which, you know, the big one always gets away. And one big chunky whitefish.
Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah. Okay. We'll have to talk about that later, too.
Yeah.
So you found a little action down there. I mean, being a mountain boy,
Do
you feel funny down there on the flatlands a little bit?
It is kind of weird in that river is just so freaking big.
Yeah.
You couldn't even cast halfway across it with some of your big spey rods, you know, mm-hmm. And I'm usually a single-hander myself. You'd need a boat to fish all the portions of this hole mm-hmm. that I'm fishing usually there by my pop's place. But luckily it has a really nice inside run that I can usually get into what I'm looking for. That's where I landed my first Wenatchee steelhead last year. And I just really like the way the thing rolls through. It reminds me of the Twist Park hole. It has a nice, pretty top ledge to it. Helps you to gain traction on the bottom, hold that traction throughout your drift, mm-hmm. and really controlled, maintained slow drifts is what it's about. So I really enjoy that one, and it's productive.
Well, you know, on the fishing report we threw away, you mentioned you had a phrase, fish the river within the river.
That's correct.
And since we got some people who are maybe going to be going to some bigger rivers here, and you explain that a little bit?
I definitely recommend it. Not only the Okanagan, I don't really know the Similkameen and the Inyat as well, but the Wenatchee is also a very good fishing river. And, you know, the Wenatchee is the biggest of them all.
Yeah.
And it is, it can be a little bit intimidating to look at from the bank. But just know that they say fish the river within the river means, you just kind of pick those smaller portions that look like stuff that you know how to work.
Yeah.
In this case, it's that nice, diagonal ledge cutting across the first part of this hole, which leads to a nice inside seam, which kind of has a back eddy, but also has a nice straight line outside that mm-hmm. back eddy. And so it reminds me of a few that I work up here, and I just kind of work with that portion of the hole mm-hmm. and just ignore the rest of it.
Yeah.
I just pretend the rest of it's not there because you can't, even if you could cast further, you could never keep your stuff down there.
Mm-hmm.
So just work those portions that you can get to and know that the fisher, it's not that mentality, or that mentality is not correct that always says the big fisher in the middle of the lake or down in the deepest portion. You know, they always like that. Kind of mid-depth, they always, the steelhead, that mm-hmm. is, like structure, and they like flow, too, mm-hmm. But not too much of it. So if you can find those things, usually you can find those fish.
So those elements of reading a river, small or big, can kind of translate back and forth.
Even in the big Columbia. I guarantee you, if you find a point in the side of the river, which creates the same thing, a little bit of a seam, you're going to have fish in the big mighty Columbia too, treat you the same way. It's just, it can be easy to be, like I say, just a little bit, paranoid of being able to go out there and have the same luck. But, it takes a lot of it too, is just having that confidence that what you're doing is going to work and sticking with it until it does.
Yeah. Yeah. Good point. So did we say that you caught a whitefish in this episode?
We mentioned it in all three now. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. No, so, I caught a big chunky whitefish down there, which was bigger than my one salt steelhead.
Basically now whitefish season has opened around here.
Correct. Yeah. A lot of people don't know, but if you go and you look in your regs there, you will notice not only in that emergency regulation that closed our steelhead, it says closed to the confluence of the Chewook, which mm-hmm. at this time of the year is where white fishing should open on the Chewook and on the Methow above that point.
Okay.
And so I know that the Methow goes all the way up to Brush Creek. And I think that the the Chewuk probably closes at that usual place at 8 Mile. I've never had as much luck on the Chewuk, but I've done quite well always on the Methow.
Have you noticed any increase or decrease in folks fishing for whitefish? I mean, around here, it doesn't seem to be a huge thing.
No, it's not huge.
Over on the like Cleolum and so on, it's a little bit more popular. I don't know. Maybe it's just the number of people.
I think it's more of just one of those things that's kind of going by the wayside due to time. Just the people that enjoy fishing for those fish or that enjoy harvesting those fish just aren't kind of the youth of the scene here. But I've always been curious and wanted to do something with those fish. Wanted to harvest a few of them myself. And my buddy here in town, Pete, he's a guy that he comes from Norwegian descent, and they love pickling stuff, and he looked up a few recipes for me, and we fished together, and we're looking forward to grabbing a mound of them this year and trying to do something with them, smoke them, pickle them.
Right. Well, whatever. I have a hunch. I mean, I hear stories that, in a delicatessen in New York City, they bring down a lot of money.
Yeah.
They're generally smoked, and a lot of people order it and are waiting for the whitefish season. So
it's not got a face that you want to kiss on, but
yeah, it's a they're
I
a weird
think that's kind of giving it the bum rap.
Well, but that's maybe that's the deal. If you don't do the fishing and you order it in the deli, you fall in love with
no
it.
No big deal. Yeah. And if you think about it, it's some of the cleanest meat you could eat. This water's very cold.
Yeah.
I know they eat mainly bugs, but still, the water here is cold. Like I say, they're not heading out to the ocean. You never know what's going out in the ocean there with Fukushima and all these various things.
Good point.
They won't make you glow on the inside. I'm not saying our steelhead were, but or will, but I'm not sure. I'm not positive. So
yeah, I know.
I can tell you they're probably some of the cleanest, safest meat that you could eat.
Mm-hmm. This is a little bit of a side story, but the fish kind of ring true or fall in the same file in my mind is lampreys. Back in the day, they were a major food source.
Yeah.
For the First Nation people,
absolutely,
and we don't hardly even see this fish anymore.
Yeah,
but it's a huge source of food. A lot of people loved it and really lament its passing. I know they're bringing it back.
If you think about it, what those anadromous fish are only here for a short window each year, and probably the lampreys too. But which I'm sure they were a little bit easier to harvest, which might have been part of it too, when they finally did come back in that number that they would have been amazing to see.
Yeah.
Huge numbers of lampreys returning. But yeah, absolutely. Whitefish are always here.
Yeah.
And so I know that those fish that were always here were their main, feed source in that regard because, they could count on them being there. And absolutely, they're great fish, and they've been a very important part to the the civilizations that have come up around here.
Yeah, I know you fish whitefish with flies, but they're frequently fished with a little bit of bait, a little maggot or something.
Correct.
Like that.
And that's one of the weird things here as well, that you can use bait to fish for them. A lot of people don't know that, but it's just in some of that small print in your regulations, or it's the stuff that's left out in that regulation. It doesn't say no bait, you'll notice. And they won't stay on in my back cast. And with the use of chironomids and midges, I don't really find it necessary to use it. But it's, it's no problem to catch them on the fly.
Really small gear, though.
Very small.
Teeny
gear. That is the legality of the situation. You have to be, if you're going to be fishing in those portions of the river that are open to whitefish, you have to be using, I believe it's a size 18.
Yeah.
So that's like an 18 millimeter gap or whatever. And so just make sure that you pay attention to the regulations if you are going to go out there and have some fun. Absolutely no reason not to. I have a lot of fun doing it. I went out there today, and there's always the possibility of a nice trout bycatch up there. You probably won't see any steelhead that far up, but you might see some really beautiful cutthroat and bull trout like the ones I saw today when I was fishing.
And you've probably checked on some ice in places.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had a nice cold patch. I think it's probably coming to an end for the next few days anyway, but this ice is going to grow. We're going to start.
Correct.
But you saw quite a bit of thickness on the ice you did see, right?
Oh, man, yeah. I launched my drift boat last weekend up at Frost Lake with my buddy Corey. We couldn't even get the boat to break that ledge of ice that had circled the lake. It was only about 15 yards of ice, maybe, but my boat wouldn't even break that ice. It was probably 5-6 inches thick. And so we had a good time up there at Frost, and I'm sure that'll be a good time once it freezes over. But it led me to think, you know, go check out Patterson. And so I did today before I hit the river. And, you know, it was just one cove that I found to be frozen. And I took my time, which I would recommend everybody kind of do it in that regard. As you're working out on the ice, if you ever question it, just, you know, don't go out further than you can stand. Check the ice. And then don't, you know, if that ice is satisfactorily thick, you know, but still don't go much further without checking it more than like every 10, 15 feet mm-hmm. or so, unless you are absolutely sure it's beyond that total safe thickness. And, you know, I did find today, well, you know, it seems like one of those things you wouldn't have to warn people about, but then you wouldn't see those news headlines of people falling into the ice all the time.
Well,
if you didn't.
It's generally something you do as a kid. I mean, I did it once as a kid. That'll teach you.
Yeah, it sure will.
It's a long walk home.
Yeah. So, you know, I was careful about it today. I went out there with my waders and my float coat on, and I checked it every 10 feet or so. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I found it to be about 3-4 inches thick up in that cove I was on Patterson. And then I did find another layer of ice out there that was only about 2 or 3 inches thick, and then didn't proceed much further. But that was far enough for me to get some fish. I got into a couple of perch. The water at that point was maybe 8-9 feet deep, which is where I've caught some of my biggest mm-hmm. perch in that mm-hmm. lake too. So not a whole lot of need to push it out there too far. I'm sure you'll see my holes out there mm-hmm. where I punched it, but also be aware that the temperatures will fluctuate here over the next week. And so if we break out of that freezing it all for any length of time during the day, that could change the quality of that ice. So just always, you know, just always be careful. Or if you have any questions, feel free to drop me a line at Fly Fishers Pro Shop there. You know, you can email me at methowfishingadventures@gmail.com, or just check out the blog. Or, hey, feel free to shoot me a call anytime, 509-429-7298, and I'll let you know what's going on, you know, at least what I'm up to. And you know what? Take care of each other. Enjoy the holidays. Stay warm and get that fish on. Sing me the fish bites if you got good bait.